the Late Night The Explosion Network's esports show right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork every Tuesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. Welcome to the night. Welcome to the night, they say, as the cool kids say. Let's move my water bottle out of shot, eh? Let's be professional on this one. Welcome to the show tonight. I hope you had a fantastic week and you're ready for the weekend, because boy oh boy am I ready for the weekend and for the fantastic a weekend is an event, isn't it? It's like an event. It's kind of the same thing. Hopefully you've had a good week. That's all I'm trying to say. And welcome to the show. This is our esports show, where I give you the latest news on all things esports in the world, and especially in Australia. It's been good. I went back to work this week. I smashed a bunch of Overwatch comp this week. It's been really fun. I was really excited to hear that the Queensland University actually have come forward and put out the very first scholarships for esports players to take on a academic course in their university with a full ride. That's goddamn awesome. Finally, if you don't know already, America already has a university-based tournaments for things like Overwatch, Rocket League, for your Counter-Strikes. Many teams probably laugh at them a little bit, but they are still a really big thing. And to see that being taken on by, especially a Queensland University, is fantastic to see that they are viewing its rise and its importance in today's society, which I'm really excited for. We've had a breakthrough, everybody. If you're thinking, I'm lying in bed, guys, I'm chilling out, I want to watch some Overwatch. I want to watch some esports. I want to watch like last year's international from Dota 2. And you say, boy, I could watch it on my phone. Phone's too small. Too small for the experience. Okay. How about my laptop? Nah, laptop's too big, too bright. I've got it. I don't have a tablet. I have my Nintendo Switch. That's right, everybody. Nintendo Switch has finally brought out a YouTube app. It's a breakthrough. Welcome to 2010, Nintendo. So make sure you get it downloaded. Show your appreciation for the app on the Switch. It's a decent-sized screen, I think, and it's a decent console. So definitely use your Switch to watch YouTubes, I guess, on the toilet. You know, bigger screen, better screen. There was a really good and interesting conversation that Jeff had with various reporters over the weekend. Jeff Kaplan, that is. Papa Jeff, Uncle Jeff, Daddy Jeff, whatever you want to call him. You know, Jeff Kaplan from Overwatch. And they were discussing characters, of course, because Ashe being brought out, and there's, once again, a big hullabaloo over what characters are next and what characters are in the works and why isn't there this character, why isn't that character. And Jeff Kaplan's come out and said he never wants to make a wacky character like Hammond ever again, that Hammond is the wackiest character they're going to make. And that's pretty funny. And for a long time, Winston was kind of that wacky character. You know, it was a talking monkey that ate peanut butter. So to have this hamster that has built a mech and talks, but that talking gets translated by AI inside the mech, it's wacky as it is. So Overwatch, you've got your wackiest character. Let's see them scale everything back and see them work back from there. Well, I'm really interested to see exactly what they choose and where to go. And in non-esports related news and single player awesome adventure game kind of news, make sure next week you stick around, because I'll be streaming Spyro at some point, because Spyro the fucking Dragon's been reforged, everybody, and I'm super excited to get my hands on all three games and smash them out on the stream. So make sure you stay tuned for that next week. On tonight's episode, let's not hold back any of the chit-chat. Let's dive into it. We've got Warcraft 3 Reforged talk. We're going to be discussing latest game for hashtag esports for dummies. I'm going to be giving you all the latest news from Overwatch League. And then we're going to be talking about this man himself, Mr. XQC. We're going to be discussing his role in the Overwatch community and why he's so important to Overwatch as a whole. And I think something we have to be extremely grateful for as a community, even if you dislike him. And you got to give him some respect. So we'll go on to that. Stay tuned for that later in the show. Let's dive in. Dive in. And, you know, history is about games. And how, you know, Pong defined gaming. And how each game that was created defined gaming in general. Most of them, you know, they grew, they evolved. It went from, you know, a couple pixels on the screen to those pixels looking like characters, to those characters being able to jump. to then becoming the competitive aspect more. You know, Pong was already competitive, but then it got more and more competitive as gaming grew. And, you know, games split off into more games, into more genres, and it was amazing. 2003, Warcraft 3 was released. And what the world didn't know was how important Warcraft 3 was going to be for the development of PC gaming, for the development of gaming in general, and the amount of games that were going to be spawned from this one single game. Because the legacy of Warcraft 3 is something that I don't think many people, unless you've really enjoyed the game, like if you're a console player, I don't think you understand quite how important Warcraft 3 is in the history of gaming. And now to see BlizzCon, as I've already mentioned in previous episodes, have now remastered the game with full 4K resolution to be coming out in 2019, how important that is to look at. And how interesting it is for the game of that much worth, of that much importance. You know, I've got the Walt Disney in chat right now, and he knows how important Warcraft 3 was. If you've played a PC ever, you probably know how important Warcraft 3 is. Most games will spawn its evident sequel. Most games don't give the opportunity for genres to be built from them, or to give somebody the tools to be able to learn that they want to be in game design. And, you know, that's amazing. That's so cool and so fun. And it all began with its campaign when Warcraft 3 first began. The Warcraft series had already been building on this world of Azeroth with orcs and elves and, you know, with night elves and trolls and different races and different people all taking their place in this kind of historical world, this fantasy world that fought with demons. And it was always this incredible story. That single story set up the basis for what would become probably the biggest game in the history of the World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft brought players together in a way that had never been really done before, other than the likes of maybe RuneScape in this massive multiplayer online RPG. And nothing had really been seen of the type before. It was absolutely amazing, the scale, the size of Azeroth that you walked around in the original World of Warcraft. And many of you go, well, yeah, it was World of Warcraft. It was bound to happen. But World of Warcraft wouldn't be so rich with its story, even though its story has been loopy, if it wasn't for the story of Warcraft, and of Warcraft 3, especially for me. Warcraft 3, as its campaign, goes behind Arthas and goes through his story of complete and utter meltdown, pretty much, and how he self-implodes into this being that you end up fighting much later in the World of Warcraft era. But World of Warcraft, you know, in its own right, has esports qualities with its arena matchup, with its arena game mode. It's PvP in the game. It's its own style of esports within, you know, within the world of its own creation. But the campaign wasn't the only thing. Warcraft 3 came with a full suite of custom games that utilized the Battle.net system. Battle.net being one of the first major online networks and infrastructures that really supported people and really helped its gamers get together and play the games they really enjoy. They could just play the standard RTSs based on the game that they have just played through the campaign. They could play through that. They could control the armies and fight one another. Or, with its creation tools, they could create whatever game they want. And from that idea and from that ability to be able to create, evolved many different genres and styles of games. You know, it evolved into tower defense games. Probably once in your life, at least, you've played some kind of balloon tower defense game. And tower defense games found their niche, found their market in Warcraft 3, and were built and were optimized and showed all these crazy customizations that you could do to it that were absolutely fantastic and really, really enjoyable to use. RTS game modes. Before that, really RTS games, if you go to, say, Age of Empires, had a couple game modes, but mainly it was about the art of war. Just back and forth, you built your little base, you prepared your troops, and you fought till one army finished and vanquished the other army. But if you now look at the likes of StarCraft II, another RTS by Blizzard again, you'll see the features of the RTS game modes, those horde modes, those rushed modes, those, you know, those controlling characters that aren't really, you know, it's not like you're controlling an army. It's just a different style of RTS, a different style of construction and control. It created game modes and horde modes like never before, where you would prepare your army to be onslaughted and attacked by a horde, and then after each horde you would be equipped with more and more gold to build up your army and defend for the next harder horde. You know, COD Zombies is such a big thing in the horde genre, but for RTSers and PC players, Warcraft started the horde game mode. But there's one game by itself that did something that to this day is still being felt. You know, back in its, you know, creation in 2003, Warcraft, it was just the one game. And then it evolved all these game modes, but a whole separate game evolved from it. Defense of the Ancients was a game where you controlled a single character out of a roster of characters. You made a team of six players. And you fought together. Five players. Why did I say six? It's five. You made a roster of five players in a team and you fought together to win the game of chess against your opponents based on the RTS and based on the World of Warcraft functionality. But you were in an arena. And that spawned the MOBA, the League of Legends, the Heroes of the Storm, the Heroes of New Earth, Smite, which is a very different version of the MOBA, but still part of the MOBA family. Now, in the past, we have discussed League of Legends in Esports for Dummies. Now, tonight I'm going to be talking about Dota 2. Dota 2 is one of the most influential esports in the whole industry. And there's a very good reason for it. When Dota was originally formed in 2004 and 2005, it went through many iterations, updates, and patch changes. The original Dota 1 featured, after being taken over by Mon Icefrog himself, featured a roster of 112 characters. 112 different characters with different abilities, different moves, different equipment that can be used to make them better to fight. Then Dota 1 or Dota Defense of the Ancient is purchased by Valve, the software company behind Counter-Strike and Half-Life, with the future of Team Fortress 2 already in their hands. Dota 2 came to life. And in it became one of the first free access, free-to-play games that was early access in itself. It was when it first came out, it was ridiculously hard to get a beta key. You had to either be lucky enough to have your friend get several beta keys, or you had to buy one for a ridiculous price. So that cut out the free-to-play model. And in that early time, Dota 2 became this amazing chessboard arena game that is so amazing. And you say to me, Kieran, you've already explained League of Legends. I have. But to me, there's something about Dota that is completely different. There's something about Dota for me that is really, really impressive. You see, in Dota 2, now in its current form, many years after its release, it now is up to the full roster of 115 characters. And when I say full roster, I don't mean that the roster's complete and they're not going to add any more characters. They will be adding characters constantly. They've just added another character after the recent international tournament. But they've done the roster of the original Dota 1, and they're proceeding to make their own characters now. And for many people, that's a problem. That was a problem in the original Heroes of New Earth, when they got to the point of starting creating their own heroes that they were unbalanced and broken and not very good. Dota 2 has the help of having its original creator, Icefrog, as part of the team at Valve, working on the game to create this amazing arena-based game that people play every day for hours on end. An average Dota game goes from anywhere between 40 minutes to an hour and a half. And this can, you know, this contains two teams selecting out of those 115 characters. They get to ban and change and kind of alter out what characters can be played in their game via voting system. And then for the rest of the game, they play together in the formation. Each character always starts at level 1 with 0 XP, and it's from there, and it's up to you what your strategy is to gain XP and gold quicker than your allies. You can kill enemy NPC minions. You can kill enemy heroes. You can farm the neutral NPC jungle creatures that, you know, dwell in the jungles that are ready to be farmed and killed. It shows this amazing kind of gameplay of like 4D chess that is unbound by any game mode. Teams generally fight together in different modes where no kind of, you know, strict meta is really applied. Dota is now currently so balanced in its game mode that in recent tournaments of the most competitive and international forms, only several, like, couple characters will be missed from being picked. They've had internationals where only 2 characters were missed for the entire tournament. That any character is viable and can be used in different forms and different compositions for your team. Now, Dota, in a difference from League of Legends, is, in my opinion, a lot harder. It's ridiculous for now, for games where people think about games having fun, that gamers choose to play a game like Dota 2 that spends the first 100 hours telling you that you suck. That, you know, it's complicated mechanics, it's rough and kind of hard-fought battles, kind of go out of their way to tell you that you're not good at the game or that you're having problems. And it takes a very long time, those 100 hours, to kind of, for the game to click and for it to come together for you. So it is a fantastic game to get into, but a hard game to get into. And the reason that Dota 2 is so important when it comes to the world of esports and tournaments as we currently know it is because of the very first international. This was the international at, I believe it happened in Germany for the first year. Tournament where they invited some of the best teams at Dota 2 in the world, with Valve putting up a $1 million prize pool for the winner, like $1 million first prize. And it was amazing to see this. And it really set the bar for esports tournaments and the amount of money that they could be playing for, that people could really make a living by playing esports. People from all over the world came to watch the games and how it evolved. And now the team that won that international, Na'Vi, is etched into history with players in its original rosters like Puppy and Dendi being immortalized in the game itself. Either through their current play, with Puppy being the captain of Team Secret, one of the top teams in the world, or with Dendi being probably one of the most beloved professional esports athletes that I have ever seen. Fans flock to Dendi in his antics and his gameplay style. He is absolutely immortal in many ways than one. Now, you say to me League of Legends, and we'll go into the differences maybe in a future episode or a future edition of the show, but the game is a lot harder, a lot rougher, a lot more challenging, I would say, compared to League of Legends. And what I do think it's the premier MOBA that you should get into, and I will go into that deeper as to why later. But this has been hashtag esports for dummies, right here on Early Late Nights, where we try and go over as many games as possible, talking about the game and give you up to date and let you know a bit of the history of the game, a bit about the game. We're going to go into it more. I'm going to start playing some Dota 2 on stream, so make sure you're following us at twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. Hit that little heart button to get a full notification every time we go live. Come hang out, come play Dota with me, come learn. It's a great game. Now, Overwatch League. Now, you're telling me, Kieran, the Overwatch World Cup's just finished. How has anybody had the chance to get into Overwatch League news or Overwatch League drama? Well, it's been going on. As we've said previously on the show, there's been several brand new Overwatch League teams announced. And we're getting to the point where those teams are announcing their names and announcing their rosters in full. One of those teams was Atlanta Reign, who made headlines after announcing that one of its key players was going to be internet sensation DeFran. DeFran has been a kind of a controversial figure within the world, because within the world of Overwatch, especially because of his on-stream antics. He was given a ban for throwing games previously, but he's a fantastic player with excellent aim and coordination within the game of Overwatch. And it looked exciting. People were excited that DeFran was eventually getting a part of Overwatch League. But The problem was that DeFran's been having a rough time, and DeFran's, you know, with that kind of internet stardom and that permanent, like, you know, understanding to be doing the best at the game and be number one at your characters, it's eventually going to get to them. And the Overwatch community was a bit shocked, where earlier this week, DeFran was seen posting on his Twitter about how he had quit the team Atlanta Reign. He had was no longer taking part in the team. He was going to be. He had been like soft throwing games in his stream, where he'd been throwing games on, you know, Mercy and not playing to the best of his ability. And the world was quite shocked at him. You know, he said he quit the game. He'd uninstalled it. And it was unsure, and he'd done this kind of thing before, but now to do it on the scale of quitting a headlining, you know, being the star member of the roster of a brand new team is something completely different, and it's really rough. DeFran has since then come out and said that he was in a bad mind headspace and that he was not quitting and he was still part of the team, but he was going to take some breaks from streaming to really get his head straight for playing in the Overwatch League. And I think that's really important, especially to see, you know, for the Atlanta Reign, it was probably a really dodgy 24 hours to be a part of that kind of, you know, speculation about his career. But for them to stand with him and to support him is a fantastic move and a really fantastic idea. I think they've made the best of a bad situation. They've made a, you know, they've made this what could have potentially been terrible idea and terrible moment into a fantastic move for their team. And I think DeFran, this is a really good, you know, a really good opportunity for him. He's going to have the support of their coaching staff. He's going to have support of their team, hopefully with a bit less streaming and a bit more focus on this kind of professional esport. He's going to come out and be a much better role model for the whole, you know, for the world and for esports, as well as being better off in a better place for himself. So we wish DeFran good luck with Atlanta Reign, and that hopefully Overwatch starts treating him a little bit better, because Overwatch is a rough place at the minute. There are some mechanics that aren't so great, and so it can be a little rough to get through on a day-to-day basis. We also had some sad news in the Overwatch world about Overwatch League 2019, with one of the most beloved members of the broadcast team, Reinforce, who was a previous pro player who had been a part of Team Sweden in the World Cup this year, had not been offered another contract with the Overwatch League to be part of their analyst team for the coming season of Overwatch League 2, Season 2. And this was startling and surprising, and many members of the community have kind of reached out in dissatisfaction. Reinforce announced it on his stream, announced it on Twitter, and then carried on his stream explaining that it was out of his control, and he's known for a couple months, and that he wanted to live out World Cup and have fun with the broadcast as much as he could. It was quite heartbreaking to see him break down and cry on stream with other members of the broadcast team, his roommates, Bren and Sideshow, you know, coming and giving him a hug, and it was harsh. So we wish Reinforce good luck for his future. He's still streaming, so make sure you go stop by his stream and say hello. Give him some support. I'm sure he's going to fall on his feet and find either place on maybe coaching staff or find his position back in the Overwatch world in another way, which I think would be absolutely fantastic. So we will definitely see more of Reinforce in the coming future. Also, make sure you check out Jayne's stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/Jayne, J-A-Y-N-E. Make sure you keep up to date with his World Cup analysis. He's going through each of the games with the Overwatch World Cup viewer, really breaking down the game and showing a lot of things in the World Cup viewer that is fantastic. Make sure you swing by and catch that. Also, we've still got more team rosters to come. There is the Washington team rosters still need to be announced, as well as all of the Chinese teams. And today it was announced that the Paris team was going to be called Paris Eternal. Paris Eternal, which had previously announced its roster, including members of the Overwatch France World Cup team in Ben Best and Soon, the Overwatch League star Shadowburn, who was previously of the Philadelphia Fusions, as well as the United Kingdom star Cruz. It's going to be a fantastic lineup, and Paris Eternal sounds really great. So I'm really excited for their addition for the Overwatch League. Remember, if you want any of the latest news on the Overwatch League, stay tuned here to early late nights to get all the latest tips, hints, and news upon the league, as well as our predictions for the matches each week. Now, Overwatch is a big game, and what it began as and what it is now are two very different things, within its communities being absolutely massive, its, you know, its feature within the world being, you know, a lot bigger than it was when it first started. And it's brought some personalities, it's brought some people into the world that might not have had a chance, might not have had the opportunity to make the name for themselves. And one of them is a man named Felix, or better known to much of the internet as XQC, the streamer and previous tank player for the Dallas Fuel and for Team Canada. And the world was kind of set alight a little bit over the weekend, or over the last couple of days, as he tweeted out a picture of all of his previous Overwatch medals and gear and shirts, and it seemed to have hinted that his soiree into Overwatch World Cup 2018 could be the last time him playing professional Overwatch. And for many people, they probably celebrated, were happy, were ecstatic, because, you know, XQC is a very polarizing person. And we can't lie about that. We can't disagree with that at all. XQC is a man who has done some really dumb things, who has got himself banned several times from the Overwatch League, has got him banned several times from Overwatch itself, has said some things on stream that aren't very nice. But he's still super important to the Overwatch world, no matter how you feel about him. Now, Felix has been streaming Overwatch since its release, pretty much now, and he's built a community around him of people who, they're the most interesting people on Twitch. You could say that, you know, you can, XQC's chat has a place in the world that maybe people weren't expecting, and you know, it's a bit batty, a bit crazy when XQC's chat is involved with spamming and just overall XQC shenanigans, and people may, you know, XQC does rub people the wrong way. There's no doubt about that. But if you look at his streams and if you look at his playstyle, he's a fantastic Overwatch player. He's one of the best main tanks in the world. You know, honestly, if you watch his playstyle, it's very different from a lot of other people. And I do recommend watching his streams, even if you have to mute him. You know, you watch his streams and keep an eye on how he plays main tank, because it is absolutely fantastic. But Felix himself, the XQC we know, even though he yells, he rages, he screams, he squeals, he gets frustrated, he gets tilted, he cares. He cares unlike a lot of people in the community. And when I say that, I'm not being sliding to people, other people in the community, but he wears his heart on his sleeve. He goes out of his way to make sure he's known, but also he cares about his community and he cares about the game. If you watch an XQC stream, you watch him, you know, you watch him say thank you to every single person who subscribes to him. You know, you see him, you know, I saw him today, he apologized on Twitter if he missed anybody when he was streaming. Like, if he missed any follows or any subscriptions because of problems he was having. He's a genuine person, and, you know, stream Felix is a crazy human being. But from all accounts, the normal everyday Felix is very laid back and very caring. And it's amazing to see that his role within the Overwatch community is very divisive and very, you know, all over the place a little bit. People not liking him, people not appreciating him. But he's an important member of the community, you know. You can love him and be inspired by him and his story. You could love the way he plays. You could dislike him, but then you're still, you know, one day you want to be better than him. You wanna use that as motivation to really, you know, get further in the game and do more things that maybe you couldn't have done in the first place, which I think is absolutely amazing. Somebody who cares about the game and is such a big personality is fantastic for esports, because fans get around personalities, you know. Players from the Overwatch League pay tributes to XQC when they're doing their introductions, where they're dabbing, where they're doing the XQC X symbol with the gun's fingers. You know, he's fantastic and he's really good for this community. Even if you dislike him, you've got to give him some respect. He really does care. And, you know, seeing his performance as part of Team Canada, seeing his minimal performances at Dallas Fuel, he's an amazing human being. And I think people should get around him and give Felix and XQC more of a chance because he's done a lot. He is the largest Overwatch streamer or largest, like mainly Overwatch streamer in the world. And there's a reason for that, not just because 12-year-olds just love yelling for no reason. He's a really good human being. So make sure you maybe stop by his stream, maybe go check him out, twitch.tv/XQCOW. Make sure you go watch a YouTube video and see him hanging out with people because, you know, he does seem like a cool guy. And he's really important for the Overwatch community to build around as a personality and bring people in. Well, this has been my episode, my latest episode, episode 63 of Early Late Nights, right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. You can catch the show live every Tuesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. right here on the channel. But it's okay if you can't make it live. The show goes up 24 hours later at 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Saturday on youtube.com/explosionnetwork, explosionnetwork.com, as well as any good podcasting site in its audio format. Now, if you're telling me, Kieran, I want to keep up with you. I want to keep up with the Explosion Network. Go to Twitter and follow at ExplosionPog for the Explosion Network's Twitter account. Come to my Twitter, at your boy Ringo. Come tell me what you thought of the show, what you think. Make sure you stop by and say hello. We do love streaming here and we do love making content. If you've got any news, any information, you know, if you want to be part of the show, tweet at me, slide into my DMs. And we'll try and make it happen. Thank you very much for joining me. Good luck in your games over the weekend. Have fun. And remember, don't be toxic.